We're going to do Parshat Shemini. Parshat Shemini we almost never do because it's always like right after Pesach. And not always do we have the opportunity to study, so I'm glad that we do. We're gonna study a very cryptic section that many people are just not aware of.
It's in what?
Shemini.
It's in Vayikra.
You're in the right book. Okay. And it's a very, very cryptic section that comes that's unusual because it's unclear. We're going to study a debate, an argument in the Chumash. It's not going to be entirely clear what the argument's about. Hopefully at the end we'll come to understand. And then there are a few lessons that we can learn from it. The Midrash learns a bunch of lessons from it. So we're going to do the Chumash, some major Parshadim, basically Rashi today, Chumash and Rashi today, and then we'll go on from there. Okay, Parshat Shemini, it chronicles the story of the deaths of Nadab and Abihu. Okay, so you have to have that in your mind. Everyone knows what I'm talking about? We'll read it very, very, very quickly. Okay? Go to the end of Perek Tet. Perek Tet. Pasuk. Chafbet. Okay? Shmini is the eighth day. The 7 days were the 7 days that the Kohanim were not allowed to leave the Mishkan, and they were part of the consecration, the Hakdashat HaMishkan, right? The Aaron and they sprinkled the blood and they sprinkled the oil and they offered the sacrifices and etc. etc. And that's all great, okay? And then they were told, don't leave the Mishkan for 7 days. They stay in the Mishkan for 7 days, and then it says, Vayhi Bayom Hashmini, on the eighth day, they consecrated the Mishkan and they did all these korbanot, and it was the day of celebration. Yom HaShemini, just in terms as you're familiar, or you might be familiar, the Yom HaShemini, we know just from a rudimentary understanding of like Kabbalistic ideas or spirituality. Seven represents the number seven. What's that?
Wait. Completion?
Okay.
Either nature or miracles.
Nature, right. Seven represents
eight
nature.
Eight
exactly.
Miracles.
You knew where I was going.
Eight
is above nature. So we always say the 8 days above nature. So Yom HaShemini, right, they did the 7 days of consecration. The eighth day is the day of Kedusha, the day of Extra, the day of Special, the day of the dedication. And they did this whole incredible ceremony.
Brit Milah is also, falls into that same category?
Correct, yeah, absolutely, right. You have said the child goes through 7 days. On the eighth day, we're Makdish, we dedicate the boy. By doing the Brit Milah, we show that there's something above. Absolutely. Another classic example, Sefirat HaOmer. Right, we do Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot Tihyena, right? The 7 days, 7 weeks of 7 days, seven sevens, and then what's the 50th is really the eighth of the eighth. Mm-hmm. It's the first of the eighth.
Like Yoko?
Exactly, absolutely correct. All the same.
Hanukkah.
What? I agree, but Hanukkah is the Rabbanan. Hanukkah is later, interestingly enough. Mm-hmm. Okay, the eighth day. That this eighth day, number eight, is, very, very significant. Anyway, so they do the whole ceremony, but we're not going to go into. They brought the korbanot, all these incredible things. And then it says, Pasuk Chavet, Vayisa Aaron et Yadav el Ha'am Vayivarchem. Aaron lifted up his arms and he blessed them. Vayirid me'asot ha'chatat ve'olav ha'shlamim. And he came down from, he finished doing the chatat, the sin offerings, the olah and the shlamim. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Amen Tet Chav Gimel. Vayavo Moshe ve'aharon el ol mo'ed. They came to Ol Moed, Vayetzu Vayibarchu et Ha'am, and then they came back out and they blessed the nation, Vayirak Kavod Hashem El Kol Ha'am, and the glory of God appeared to the whole nation. Just, we've learned in past years, I don't know if this rings a bell or not, why did they go in, why did they come back out? There's some unclarity about what the whole story is. Look it up in Rashi. Pasuk Chavdalin, Vateitze Esh Milifnei Hashem, Vatochal Al HaMizbech Et Ha'olav Et HaChalavim. Right, so they blessed God, and everyone saw the glory of God. What is the thing that they saw? Divine fire comes out. I always envisioned the fire coming from Shemayim, but that's unclear. Like, you think about it, maybe the fire could come out from the Mishkan. I don't know. Fire came from somewhere, came down onto the Mizbeach, onto the altar, consumed whatever there was, okay? Vayar kol ha'am vayaronu. The whole nation saw. Vayaronu, what do you have there?
They shouted in exaltation.
They what?
Shouted. In exaltation.
They shouted in exaltation. They freaked out, right? Vayaronu. What's that?
Jubilee.
They jubilated. Okay. Vayiplu'abadim. They fell on their faces. Okay. That is exactly what we expected to happen. They did all the korbanot. There's nothing more supernatural, more me'al hateva than divine fire coming out and consuming the sacrifices that were offered, which is clearly an indication we're on the right track. Things are good. Except, next pasuk. Vayichu b'nei Aharon, Nadav, Abihu, ish machtachto, Abihu. Okay. Nadav and Abihu, the sons of Aharon, each one took his fire pan. Vayitnu behen ish, vayasimu aleha ketoret, put on it fire, and they placed on it incense. Vayakrivu lifnei Hashem, ish zara asher lo tziva utam. And they offered a strange fire that they had not been commanded. What happens? Vatetze ish lifnei Hashem, vatochal otam, vayamutu lifnei Hashem. Okay, and a fire, another fire came out from God, consumed them and killed them. They died. We were familiar. This is the tragic death of Nadab and Abihu. Okay, that's pasuk. Vayomer Moshe el Aharon. Moshe said to Aharon, "Who asher diber Hashem leimor?" You know what Hashem said? Bikrovai ekadesh, v'al pneha kol ha'am ekabein, v'yidom Aharon. This is what God said, and this is all we can give. We've given whole shiurim on these pesukim. Right? This is what God said. In my midst, I will be sanctified, and in the face of the nation, I will be honored. Ekabed, and Aaron was silent. Okay, and this and great drashot about Vayidom Aaron. Aaron's silence, the dignity of silence, etc., etc. Okay, very, very powerful ideas. Vayidom Aaron. So this is the you have the high, the incredible high of the divine fire, and everyone is Vayironu. Like you have that crazy word. They jubilated. They cried out in glee, in ecstasy, whatever you want to say. The incredible, incredible spiritual high. You can only imagine. Imagine all the Jewish people. Imagine all of us going to the Beit HaMikdash. And, you know, the Kohen Gadol comes out and he offers the sacrifices and he offers a prayer and he gives us a blessing. And then all of us, you know, think about a million people surrounding Har HaBayit and this divine fire comes down. Well, what do we do? I just get chills imagining the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? And then immediately after that, you see another, something on the side going on. You don't really understand what's going on. Another fire comes down and two people are dead. Right, so it's high and then this incredible low. And so now what do we do? What do we do? So Vayidom Aharon, most commentaries understand and interpret that Aharon, the Kohen Gadol, was prohibited from Avelut. Right? It's explicit. The Kohen Gadol can't be an Avel. Meaning he has to go on. Like you're in the middle of the celebration. Like, you know, you can't just stop.
He can't be avelut at all.
No, there's no avelut. A Kohen Gadol has no avelut. That's the one. That's one interpretation. It says al pnei kol ha'am ekabed. It's their responsibility, right? They have to do the avelut. They have to do the mourning. Okay, ve'idom Aharon, and Aaron was silent. Aaron accepted it.
Silent? Oh, I thought it had to do with
them. Dom. Oh. Dimama. Hold dimama. Silence. Okay? There was no blood, not blood. Okay.
There was a story like this in the news last week.
What do you mean?
Where a woman, a news anchor, was giving a story, and as she's giving the story about somebody being killed in a car accident, she realizes it's her husband.
What?
They're describing the accident and the victims.
Where?
This was in India.
Wow.
And she just kept going through the motion of what she had to do until later.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine. Although there is a halachic component to this idea that does affect most people, that affects everyone. If a person loses a loved one on Chag, right, that's like the hardest thing. And my aunt actually, she just lost her father. My uncle's wife, she lost her father on Chag in America. So she had to. But you don't start avelut. Why? Because halacha is koveh. Halacha says that. You know, it's Zman Simcha. How could you be Avel in Zman Simcha?
My grandmother passed away, Mamash, half an hour before Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, okay.
So it's very hard because you have to go to shul and you know, do everything.
Right. You're not an Avel. You're neither here nor there, but you're supposed to externally
told us not to tell anybody.
Have Simcha, really.
Yeah, because otherwise, because it's
then everyone's going to come over to you. And
yeah.
You're like an Avel. Okay, so. No, then
because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur stops.
Right. If Rosh Hashanah does it, Yom Kippur stops Avelut, then Sukkot stops Shloshim.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's harder. My uncle actually, his father passed away the day before Rosh Hashanah, so I feel more for people who don't have Avelut at all.
Yeah.
You know, because you know you need that period. Okay. Anyway. Now we're going to skip. So then they offered the korbanot, right? Moshe, they offered the korbanot. They kept, they ate the right things. They offered this, they put that, etc., etc., etc. You can read it on if you want. Okay? Now skip to Pasuk Tet Zayin. All of this is prelude to just an incredibly unusual, seemingly unusual interaction between Moshe and Aharon. Ve'et, here I am, Pasuk Tet Zayin, verse 16. Ve'et, Si'ir ha-chatat, darosh darash Moshe, v'hinei soraf. The si'ir ha-chatat, the goat of chatat, of sin offering, darosh darash Moshe. Moshe, darosh darash, sought it out. Right? He inquired as to its whereabouts, like what's going on with it. V'hinei soraf, and it was burned. Va'iksof al el-azar ve'al itamar b'nei Aaron hanotarim le'mor. Va'iksof, what is ketzef? Anger. Right. And Moshe became enraged on Elazar and Itamar, the sons of Aaron, Hanotarim, who remained. Lemor, say. Madua lo achaltem et hachatat bimkom hakodesh? Ki kodesh kodashim hi. Why didn't you eat the chatat? Meaning, he's like, where's the chatat? Where's the chatat? Where's the chatat? And they're like, oh, it's over there. And he looks over there and it's burnt. What does that mean, burnt? Burnt means instead of consuming it, they decided to
burn it,
to not eat it. Okay. So, and by the way, we all know the halachot of korbanot are A, extremely complex on the one hand, and very exacting, extremely exacting. You offer this fat, you sprinkle this blood, you're supposed to eat this, you're supposed to consume that. So he sees the chatat, and some of the fats of the chatat, the blood of the chatat goes in the mizbeah, and parts of the chatat, the korban chatat, a person eats. This actually is common halacha. Person, God forbid, violates Suchot Shabbat by accident. He did a shogeg. People warned. They went. They go to him and say, you got to bring a korban chatat. You don't burn the whole animal. The kohanim gets some of it, and it's called kachim. Not kachim kalim, kachim, or whatever. It has to be eaten. The animal is consumed. By the kohanim? Yeah, by the kohanim. In the Beit HaMikdash. Oh, I'm not an expert on these things. Anyway, so Moshe's like, where's the chatat? And they're like, it's over there. So he says, he looks at it, he says, why is it burnt? What are you doing? Like he says, Vayiktsov. If you really wanted, you would scream. Okay? Va'otanatan lachem laseit et avon ha'ida, lechaper aleichem lifnei Hashem. It was given to you, okay, to bear the sin of the community. Lechaper aleichem, to be a kapara on them, lifnei Hashem, before God. Hei lo huva et amay lakodesh pnima. Was its blood not brought on the mizbeach, on the altar, into the kodesh, into the holy inside, in the mishkan? Achol tochlu ata bakodesh kasher tziveti. Why didn't you eat it like I told you to? Moshe Rabbeinu is freaking out. Okay. Vayedaber Aharon el Moshe. So Aharon answers, Hen hayom hikrivu et chatatem ve'et olatam lifnei Hashem. Vatikrena oti ka'ela. Let's read the words carefully, because what we're going to try to figure out is, what's Moshe Rabbeinu angry about, and what's Aaron answering him? Okay? Hen hayom, today, hikrivu et chatatam ve'et olatam b'nei Hashem. They offered their sin offerings and their olah before God. Vatikrena oti ka'ela. We all know what the words mean. Let's translate it. Vatikrena oti. You're cheating. You're all cheating. Okay, we're trying to read the words and understand. Vatikrena oti and vatikrena, and you called me ka'ele. Like that. Ve'achalti chatat hayom. I'll translate. If I eat chatat today, hayitav be'inei Hashem? Would that be good in the eyes of God? Next pasuk. Vayishma Moshe vayita beina. Moshe heard what he said, and he agreed. Everyone got it?
Strange.
Were you aware of this whole interaction? Like Nadav, the story of Nadav and Avihu, everybody knows. But this story is—it's just a very short interaction. Moshe Rabbeinu really is this vayiktsof. You know, almost never see that word. Vayichar av, vayichar lo. Vayiktsof means to freak out, to let him have it. Who did who did Moshe Rabbeinu let have it?
The remaining sons.
Elazar and Itamar. He screams at them. Who answers?
Aaron.
Because I see it. You said Moshe is really angry because they haven't done what Hashem asked.
Uh-huh.
They haven't taken on been mechaper for the nation. And I was saying, but we have. We just gave the biggest sacrifice you can imagine. That's how I read it.
Whoa. One second. What do you mean? What?
But he's saying the fact that Nadav and Abihu, we sacrificed them. We sacrificed them to Hashem, and that's worth more than any chatat offering.
Okay. I never thought about it that way.
Okay.
It's very interesting. What you're saying, though, is, how shall I say this? You don't mean to say this, I think, but you're saying it's somewhat dangerous. Why? Because what you're saying is, what's that? The halachot. Moshe Rabbeinu said he gave rules. He told them how to eat it. Okay? And in order to have a kapara, you have this korban chatat, and part of the kapara process, as we'll see, is the kohanim eating the korban chatat. That's part of the process. That brings the kapara. That's what it says. Okay? Achol tochlu ota. One second. Let's look at the pasuk. Why do you not eat the chatat? B'mekom ha-kodesh, ki kodesh ha-kodeshim hi. Ve'ota natan lachem la'sei tetavon ha'ida. This commandment was given to you to bear the burden of the community. L'chaper alechem lefnei Hashem.
I think he's speaking.
Wait a second. We have to deal with Tracy's thing first. Okay? But what Tracy's saying is, Aaron's response is, Moshe says, why did you eat it? Why didn't you eat it? And Aaron's response is, you want us to be a kapara? I haven't offered enough kapara for the nation today by losing my two sons? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. But I think tying in
with wait a second.
Wait, tying in
with it can't just be me, because I don't want to attack her, because it's very deep what she's saying.
No, but
what's the problem with what she's saying?
We don't sacrifice people.
Well, God did.
No, well, it wasn't their choice. No, the problem is, I can see the problem, that Aaron himself decided that this is worth more than, or is in place of.
It's very dangerous. Why? Because God says, isn't that exactly what Nadav and Avihu did?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, what did Nadav and Avihu do? They everyone agrees that they had this religious fervor, they had this religious passion, they wanted to come close to God. So they said, well, if come close to God is done in this way, you know, if that's what Dad did, then we should do that, you know, we should do it also. And the whole lesson of the death of Nadav and Avihu is, I mean, that's what rabbis say today. The lesson, one of the major lessons of Nadav and Avihu's deaths is you don't decide, right? Spirituality, of course, spiritual fervor is good and spiritual fervor is important. But left to our own devices, for us to make decisions about how God's supposed to operate, it brings destruction to the world. I mean,
can we look at this from a human perspective?
Wait one second. Let me finish my point. And I'll get to you. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. Meaning, look today. People look at us and they say to us, Your religion isn't spiritual, it's barbaric. Correct? Right? Your values are barbaric values. How can you not be accepting? How can you not be open? How can you not be whatever? We're on the defensive today.
Brit Mila.
Halavai Brit Mila was the worst of our problems.
Haaretz. Versus Datsilumi. Also feels like there's a...
Well, they're talking about nationalism and whatever. I'm talking about just the very basic building blocks of sexual morality, right, that the Torah prescribes, we can't talk about it today. You're just not allowed to say it because you're perceived as some, radical fanatic that's immoral. Why? Because humanity is deciding what's moral and not God. And that's one of the lessons that rabbis like to say about Nadav and Avihu. Yes, they have spiritual fervor. Yes, they want to come close to God. But when Nadav and Avihu bring a strange fire, That's a recipe for destruction. And Derech Agav, everyone knows, I mean, at least to us, I'm not embarrassed to say, the immorality of today's society will lead to its destruction. There's no way it can't. That's just what's going to be, but go tell people. You know what I'm saying? So, Tracy, what you're saying, though, is that what Aaron doubled down. You know what I mean? So, it's enticing. We're going to see something similar. That Aaron did use this logic. We're going to see something similar, but I'm not willing to go ad kidekach to say, oh, you wanted a korban? Well, we decided this was a better way to do it. I gave up enough. You know what I'm saying? It's a little bit difficult to... How would you fit what you said into the words? Hein hayom hikrivu et chatatam ve'et olatam. You're saying those are Nadav and Avihu, the chatat and olah. Vatikrena oti ka'ela. I don't even know what to do with those words. Ve'achalti chatat hayom, if I ate the chatat ha'itav. Right? We're going to see that Rashi talks about a term purely in technical terms. Karen is like,
I was thinking, if you look at human nature, Aaron lost his sons, Moshe lost his nephews. Is this misplaced anger? Is he angry and yelling at these two because he's really angry or upset about what has already happened to his other two nephews?
I definitely think...
coming out and Aaron saying to him, you know, yeah, we've lost them. That was Hashem's plan.
Okay.
It's like comforting to him. It's not necessarily that they stepped out of line, or it is that they stepped out of line, but look what your brothers did. Look, they stepped out of line, like, enough.
Haven't you learned from that?
You know, like,
breaking the rules?
Wait, you're saying two different things.
I'm saying he's this is his way of, he told Aaron earlier, you know, shh, this is what Hashem wants.
Right.
Doesn't mean that he's accepted it. Doesn't mean that he doesn't
Moshe.
Doesn't mean that he's not grieving, that he's not angry.
Right.
And this is an opportunity for him.
To grieve,
to anger, to appropriately direct, if that makes sense. He can't be angry at God. He can't yell at God.
Mm-hmm.
Because then what does it say to the rest of the nation?
Well, I hope he can't be angry at God. I don't even know if I agree with that. He can be angry. You can be angry at God or not, but you don't question God. You can do the same thing.
He's taking it out.
So Freudian, isn't it? Like, what's it called? What's that called? The Freudian, there's like a Freudian thing where you're angry at one person, but it's
projecting.
Projection, right? See, at least I knew there was a Freudian term.
It's Freudian.
What?
Freudian.
That's not Freudian?
No, it's not.
Projection is
not
one of the...
Projection, that's the term.
Skinner, whatever, I learned it sometime. Okay.
That's what screams to me.
Young, whoever.
What I would say is that Aaron is telling Aaron's sons, look, your brother's already made a mistake. You're going to make another mistake. Like
Moshe is telling Aaron.
Yeah. I don't know about Aaron's answer, but I would say, like, he already saw two nephews being burned because they made a mistake.
Correct. So he's yelling at the children.
They're again making a mistake. Like, the two other ones that are left are again making a mistake.
Okay, so I think that's definitely something. Like, why is Moshe Rabbeinu reacting so harshly? Because we just witnessed, I agree with you, we just witnessed the powerful consequences of a seemingly minor mistake. It seems like nothing. It seems like, what did they do wrong? Like, you know, that's always the question. What did they do wrong? What, you know, why what they did justify their deaths? And the answer is, when you know, we don't understand. We can't really understand on the one hand. But on the other hand, the more dangerous or the more significant the material you're playing with, right, the more precaution you have to take, as everyone well knows. You know, when you deal with very, very dangerous substances or very powerful substances, so you have to take extra special precautions. Because if you don't, you know, it's just, if you don't, then they're that much more dangerous. And not even if you didn't do that. They took liberties, and you don't take liberties. You know, it's just interesting, like, you know, just hearing Simcha come back from the army, from his basic training, just the way he talks about it, and it's great that he talks about it this way. The way they talk to him about weapons and about guns and about things like, you know what I'm saying? These are not toys. They're not to be played with. They're not to be touched. They're not to be handled, you know, unless you know what you're doing, unless you're very careful. And they're, you know, it was interesting. We were talking about, you know, the old Elazar, or Elor Azariah case. So somehow that came up. He said that when they talked about it in the army, the first thing they talked about wasn't necessarily, of course they talked about the fact that this guy took law into his own hands. From the army's perspective, one of the most dangerous things he did was he shot in the direction, he was like, Azariah shot from like here to the wall. He said there were soldiers near where he shot. He said, and that was just complete breaking of army protocol. We civilians don't think about that. He said, but you know, in the army, they think about these things all the time because they're dealing with deadly materials. So here Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Elazar and Itamar, we just learned the power of these materials. The rules are there for your safety. Now you're breaking more rules? Like, you know, when I hear this Moshe Rabbeinu's, like, you know, vayiktzof, I hear the panic in his voice. Like, Moshe doesn't know. Like, he didn't know what would happen to Elazar and Itamar. I don't know what's going to happen to you guys. You don't eat the chatat, who knows what could happen? Okay, that's what I hear. You agree with me, or you think that it's different? You think it's a little differently?
No, I think it's all part of the same thing. It's part of the grief, the anger, the panic. Like, I can't handle more. I just lost your brothers. You know, I can't handle losing you too.
Okay, so now we're going to do Rashi. Anybody have something else to say before we do Rashi? Because it's complicated, right? The whole thing is complicated.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Like, I think Zara is there for a reason. And
where?
In the Pasuk.
H Zara?
H Zara, yeah.
Okay. The strange fire, yes.
For Nadav and Avihu, they made that word Zara is there. It's like, you know, when they did the Chet HaEgel, they thought they were doing it for a good purpose. They wanted a mediator to be connected. The whole purpose was to connect to Hashem.
Mm.
But I think Moshe's message is you can't choose how you're going to connect to Hashem. You can't break rules like with the Chet HaEgel and with their Esh Zar. You can't break these rules and choose how you're going to connect to Hashem. Hashem tells you exactly how to connect. That's how you're going to connect. You're going to go outside those rules, you're dead.
Okay. Hold your place here. Look on Perek Tet Pasuk Bet. Perek Tet Pasuk Bet. Vayomer el Aharon. Second pasuk of Shemini. On the second day. Vayim Yav Shemini Karam Moshe Elenu Ben Nezei Yisrael. We're in the very beginning of the parasha. Perek Tet Pasuk Bev. Just hold your place. We're going to look at it. You found it? Vayomer el Aharon. Kach lecha Egel Ben Bakar Lechatat. Ve'aya le'olat Mimim Ve'akrev Lifnei Hashem. This is a one-shot deal. This is a one-off. An Egel Lechatat. Rashi. See Rashi kach lecha egel? Why egel? Do you normally take an egel for chatat? No, you take a seir izim lechatat. Lehodia shemechaper lo hakadosh baruch hu ayedei egel ze al maase haegel she'asa. Right. This eighth day, the egel is, the egel azah, the golden calf, is everywhere in this discussion. Right? The return of hakadosh baruch hu, the redemption of the people. Remember what happened when Moshe Rabbeinu, after the Egel Azab, he went back up, came down, went back up, came down. The second time he came back down, what's the first thing Moshe Rabbeinu says? We got to build a Mishkan. Right? Many see the whole construction of the Mishkan as the answer to the Egel. This whole eighth day is the culmination of the process of the redemption to bring back from the Egel. What happens on the eighth day? Who gets killed? Not even Avihu. It is not for naught. Many say also that the deaths of Nadav and Avihu are also part of the process. You don't get off just with an egel. Why? Who played a major role in the construction of the egel?
Aaron.
No matter what you say, no matter how you read it, Aaron played a primary role. He, go get the gold. Come bring the gold. I don't know. Was it my fault? You know, these people. Aaron played a major, major role in the building of the egel. And we're going to see it soon. We're going to see it again. Okay, so after that, let's look at the words. Remember, we pointed out a word, interestingly enough. Okay, so let's go back to now to our section. Yud, Tet Zayin. Moshe Rabbeinu was looking around. Okay. Ve'etzir ha-chatat darosh darash Moshe, v'inei sarof. He's looking for the chatat. We're going to discuss what chatat, what we're talking about. Vayiktsov al Elazar ve'itamar b'nei Aharon hanotarim. What does that mean, hanotarim?
It's superfluous.
Yeah. No, of course they're left.
Leftovers.
You don't know that they're left? One second.
Isn't there a concept of what's notar from the Korban?
Notar is prohibited. But I didn't think about it in that terms. The notar, I mean, why would you have to say that they're left over? I'm looking for a midrash. Here we are. Oh, weird. Oh, I was in the wrong. Whoa. Go back to Yud Bet. I knew it was somewhere. Go back to Yud Bet. Vayidaber Moshe el Aharon ve'al Elazar ve'litamar banav hanotarim. This isn't the first time. I didn't even see that. Okay, we're notarim. Okay, what does notarim mean? That they are spared? Oh, you have it in Rashi. See Rashi on that word notarim in Yud Bet. I was going to go to Midrash. Milamed. See it? Milamed. Yud bet. On your bet. You see it in Rashi?
Yeah, min hamit.
I have min hamit.
Where are you?
Min
hamita. Right. Left from the death. Mila maybe teaches us. Sha'af aleihem niknes amita alavon ha'egel. They too were supposed to die. Hu shene emar, and this is what it says. Uba aron hit anaf Hashem meod lahashmido. Right. Moshe Rabbeinu says later in Devarim that Aaron, God, was hit anef, incurred his wrath to destroy him. En hashmada ele kilui banim. Lashmid means to destroy all of his sons. Shneemar v'ashmid, piryo mima'al. Utfilato shel Moshe batla mechza. And Moshe Rabbeinu intervened, and the prayer of Moshe negated half. Shneemar, as it says, v'etpalel gam ba'ad Aaron v'etahu. Okay?
Very chilling.
Yeah. One second. Yeah, that's what the words of Rashi, of Notari, mean. So you talked about the Cheta Egel. It wasn't just Nadav and Avihu. But according to the Midrash, it had nothing to do with the fire. Like they brought the Esha, Zara, whatever. Aaron's sons. What?
They had to die.
When?
The eighth day.
On that day.
Yeah.
On that day.
Basically, all four of them.
All four of them were going to die on that day. And that would be the Kapara of Bnei Israel.
What? The miracle is that those two didn't die? You said it's miracles, eighth.
I don't know. It's so, you know, it's difficult for us to comprehend, but at the same time, it's also difficult for us to wrap our heads around the scope of the Cheta Ego. You know, how bad it was and to what degree it was detrimental and destructive to the Jewish people. So now, in that understanding of Notarim, so now we'll go back to our pasuk.
It's because like you would think, okay, Aaron did something wrong, so he should be punished. But here it's like God wanted to like destroy all his
line.
Yeah.
No.
That's worse punishment.
Yeah.
Punishment.
It's very.
People don't like this today. But there is a concept of punishing parents through children.
Sons of the father, so the sons of the child.
That's right. And it's explicit. It's explicit in the Torah. Right? It says in Yud Gimel Midot Rachamim. Noseh avon v'pesha v'chata al shileshim v'al ribeim l'sonai v'oseh chesed l'alafim lo avai whatever shomei mitzvotai. Shileshim aribeim, meaning God exacts justice to the third generation, to the fourth generation.
Now be so careful with how you interpret that, though.
I hate to break it to you, but it's true.
It is true, but you definitely. But it's very hard. Like when you think of all the young people that have died tragically, it's very difficult to think. Okay, are the parents being punished for something?
Oh, why do you think? Excuse me. Why are you thinking of young children? Elazani, Tamar, we're grown men.
Because I guess when we think of kids, we relate to it as if that's.
But I don't think that's true. So. You know, God forbid, it's like, can't imagine the anguish and the pain of losing a child. Thank God. Nobody wants to know such things. You know what I'm saying? Is it easier when they're older? I kind of doubt it.
No, your parents are probably harder.
But I also think it's dangerous for us to say now. This was a punishment. Meaning, we don't know.
Oh yeah, I don't
know how God calculates today. We don't even know then. So to say that something.
I don't decide. It's not for us to say this like God's judgment in any way. But here, I'm not saying it. The Midrash is saying it. The Midrash says explicitly that this was part of the punishment of Nadav and of Aaron for Cheta
Egel. The torch itself is vague, like it leaves room for doubt. That maybe it was the strange fire, or maybe.
Absolutely. Right. It's actually a midrashic chidush to say. You know what I'm saying? On the one hand, this midrash, it resolves the problem. Because the problem is, why were they killed for that? So it resolves the theological problem, but it creates a textual problem. Because why were they killed for that? Why not just say, they didn't bring a strange fire. They dropped dead. And then we'd understand why they dropped dead. You know what I'm saying? There's no easy answer one way or the other. You had something you seem to have wanted to say.
I was going to say that Bia Kutsef is almost, maybe it was reciprocal. Like he was upset with himself that he was able to save Elazar and Itamar, but not the other two.
Okay, so let's go Rashi. Let's go back to our thing, because I want to do the Rashi's on our thing and see how Rashi interprets this whole section. Okay, so why is it Elazar and Itamar? Moshe Rabbeinu looked around. Okay, I'll first quote you the Gemara in Zevachim. The Gemara goes through this whole discussion and says, what Korban Chatat was it? What Seir was it? So the Gemara says, on that day they offered three Korbanot. One Seir, okay, was Seir of Nachshon ben Aminadab. It was the first day of the Korbanot of the Nisi'im. Okay, that was one. Okay, the second one was a Chatat of Shmini that we just saw, the Egel. Okay, the second Chatat. And the third one was, it happened to be Rosh Chodesh. So there was a Chatat of Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so which one was it? It was the Seir of Rosh Chodesh. Okay, they didn't eat the Seir of Rosh Chodesh. One of the three Seirim, not the Egel Chatat, they didn't eat the Seir of Rosh Chodesh. Derosh, Ze Seir Shel Rosh Chodesh. And they only burnt that one. Okay? And he said to them, why did you burn that one and not burn the other ones? I don't really know. Okay? So let's look at Rashi on Elazar v'Itamar. Why did he yell at Elazar and Itamar?
Where are
we? Rashi on 16, on Tet Zayin. Okay, so he's like, why did you eat those two, and why did you burn this one? So, and then why did he yell at Elazar and Itamar? Rashi says, Bishvil kvodo shel Aharon, hafach panav keneged habanim bekaas. I'm in the Rashi. So, because of the honor of Aharon, who is he really angry at? Aharon. But he didn't want to yell at Aharon in front of his children. So he yelled at Elazar and Itamar. Is that pshat?
Stop projecting.
What? Is that pshat?
No.
No, it's not pshat. But that's what Chazal say, that he was angry at Aharon. And why?
But it's that Aharon answers.
Oh, very good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Rashi. We'll go on the Rashi. Madua lo achaltem et chatat b'makom hakodesh v'chichutz lakodesh ichluha? Did they eat it outside? Ba'alau sarfuha. Umahu amar omer b'makom kodesh. What is he telling them in the holy place? He says, maybe. So he's saying, why did you burn it? Maybe you took it accidentally outside of the Mishkan, and that's why you burned it. Okay? Maybe it was pasul. So Moshe Rabbeinu was like giving the benefit of the doubt. Why did you burn that? Did you take it out? Did it become pasul? Vehem amru lo, lav. And they said, no. Amar lahem, so he said to them, ho'il b'makom kakodesh haita. Madua lo ochaltem ota? Why didn't you eat it? Ve'ota nachem natam lachem laseit. Shakoanim ochlim uba'alehem mit kaprim. You have to eat. This is a korban of Rosh Chodesh. It brings a special kapara for the whole people, and that's through your eating it. Laseit et avon ha'ida. Mikan lamadnu. From this we learned shesi'ir Rosh Chodesh haya. From this we learned that it was the offering of Rosh Chodesh. Shehu mechaper al von tumat mikdash v'kadashav. It brings a certain kapara for the Jewish people. Okay. Da 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 da. I'm going to skip to Yotet. So what did Aharon say? Vayidaber Aharon. See that? You on Yotet? I'm in Rashi on Yotet. I skipped. I know I'm going a little quickly because I want to make sure I cover the whole thing. Ein lashon dibur ela lashon oz. Aharon answered him firmly, strongly. Moshe Rabbeinu freaks out, and Aharon is talking very firmly. Shnemar vayidaber ha'am, etc. Okay. Efshar Moshe katzaf elazar v'itamar v'aharon medaber. Why would Aharon answer? Hayadata shelo hayta ela miderech kavod. Okay, so therefore you know that Aharon, that must be the Moshe only spoke out of kavod. Amru. Our father's right here. So you can imagine this scene. Moshe, Aharon, Elazar, and Itamar are sitting around. Moshe walks in and starts screaming at the boys. So they're like, what should we do? We can't answer. We can't answer. Our father's here. But he's yelling at us. Hayadata, so what's that? Right? A student shouldn't answer for his rabbi. Okay, maybe you think that Elazar didn't have the gumption, the ability to answer. Vayomer Elazar Kohen al Anshei Hatzava. Later on, we're going to see Elazar Kohen. There's no problem. Harek Shavata Daber Lifnei Moshe V'Lifnei Hatznisim. Elazar has no problem talking when he has something to say. So how come he doesn't answer here? So Rashi says that from this we know that the reason Aaron answered was because Moshe Rabbeinu was yelling at him. Why didn't he yell at him? He didn't want to answer. He didn't want to embarrass Aaron in front of his sons. So what is the answer? Hein Hayom Hikrivu. Mahu Omer. What's he saying? Ela Amar Lehem Moshe. Moshe said, Shema Zaraktem Dama Oninim. Remember now, they all suffered a loss of their brothers. Aaron lost his son, and they lost their brothers. So now, what's the halacha? Correct. Onen, it's a term called Avelu Deoraita. And Onen is what's called an Avel Deoraita. You can't do anything.
But if they're not going to be, like if it's a chag, and none of them can sit, none of them can mourn.
Why can't they mourn?
Then they can't.
It's not a real chag. They're in the middle of the eighth day. So they're all immediately Onanim. So Moshe said, maybe you guys offered it on an Onanim. Sha'onen sha'avad chilel. Right? Amar lo Aaron. V'chi hem hekrivu, shehem hedyotot. Did they do it? Meaning the sons? Ani hikravti, asha ani kohen gadol umakriv onen. Now we're going to get into the nuts and bolts. Okay? So Aaron said, Moshe yells at them and says, what did you guys do? Did you offer that korban? And Aaron said, I offered the korban. What's the difference between me and them?
He's not an onen.
I'm an onen, but I'm a kohen gadol. Kohen Gadol is not exempt from anything. That's one of the halachot of Kohen Gadol. Kohanim have avelut. The Kohen Gadol never is an avel for anyone. So I offered it. So let's read the pasuk again. Okay. Hen hayom hikrivu et chatatam ve'et olatam lifnei Hashem. Did they offer their ola? Vatikrena oti ka'ele. You think you call me ka'ele? Like these two boys? Ve'achalti chatat hayom, hayitav be'enei Hashem. Okay, if I ate it hayom, ava alaninut laila mutar. But at night, there is aninut laila she'en onen el hayom kvura. Hayitav be'enei Hashem. Would it be good in the eyes of God? Im shamata bekodshei sha'ah, en lecha lahakel bekodshei dorot. Would it be right? So what did he say? Everybody got that or nobody got that? I don't even think I got that. Okay. What did he say? He said, I offered it. I'm not an onen, but they are onenim. So therefore, once night came, we could no longer eat the korban. So we decided to burn it. Okay, so in the end, what's interesting is you have a subtle machloket in the halachot of aninut and avelut and korban chatat between Moshe and Aaron. That's what Rashi says. It's a very specific machloket. And who was right? Aaron was right. Moshe didn't know the halacha. According to Rashi, Moshe didn't know the halacha. And he freaks out, screams at Aaron, what did you do? How could you burn this? We burned it because we can't eat it. Why can't we eat it? Because I'm not the onen. I offered the korban, but they couldn't offer it. They're onenim. So if we would have eaten it, is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted? What, you want me to violate the halacha? What, are you nuts?
I can't Aaron eat it.
No, why can't Aaron himself eat it?
Yeah.
Well, maybe he has eaten two out of
one. Yeah, maybe he was full. I don't know.
What?
There were two other korbanas on the same day.
I don't know. I'm not entirely clear on it. But what Rashi reads into this and the Chazal read into it is a subtle machloket. See, Tracy, what's appealing about Tracy's interpretation is it's much bigger than that. You know what I'm saying? It's not a... But what Chazal didn't want to do that. They were not willing to go that far. What they wanted to say was they were arguing about nuance, subtlety, very unclear. But Aaron was right. So you have to ask yourself, if Aaron was right, how come Moshe didn't know the halakha? Anyone? Says the Midrash.
Didn't think of it?
Says the Midrash. Kevan shika'as nit'alma mimenu halacha. S- since Moshe was angry, he got angry at them, he forgot the halacha. Amar Rav Huna b'shlosha mikamot ka'as Moshe. In three instances, Moshe became angry when he t'ama mimenu halacha. Ve'ilim b'shabbat, b'klei matachot, u'be'onei. There were three examples in the Torah where Moshe Rabbeinu got mad and he forgot. Okay? Every time you lose control, you can't make good decisions. Interesting. Yeah, you want to say something?
I was going to say, I think it's, how to put this, but I feel like Aaron is criticized all along for his involvement in the Chet Egel, but I feel like this last little bit kind of raises him back up as sort of somebody who's kind of like the second to Moshe. Like when Moshe, I don't know, I think kind of gives Aaron a little more credit after his failures.
Interesting.
Right?
It
is, yeah, I think it is somewhat redeeming.
Like, because he stands up to Moshe? And he shows him that...
No, he filled in when Moshe wasn't able to step up to the plate in terms of dealing with the halachot that Aaron was there. I don't know, I think it just kind of... I guess I just...
It is interesting. No, I agree with you. Aaron's role is very interesting here in general. What the whole role of Aaron was and vis-a-vis Moshe, and he offered the korban... Like, there's a lot of it. We've done this in past years. The story of, like, when they blessed the nation and before the fire came down, like, is Aaron really redeemed or not redeemed? It was a very big question. Like, Aaron didn't really know his whole role for this. Like, I'm sure the weight of the ego was weighing down on him. You know, and when he loses his two sons, the whole Vayidom Aaron is silent. It's impossible to know what's going through his mind in this silence. There's acceptance, there's faith, there's, you know.
But there definitely is, like, more emotion here than we see in general, with the silence and the anger.
Right.
There definitely is an emotional
anger. I strongly agree with Karen about Moshe's anger, but I don't think his anger is panic. I think his anger is fear at what, you know what I'm saying? Is he's angry at them in that
he can't lose more.
Right. Right. He can't lose more. But in that anger, according to Rashi, what happened?
He forgot the halacha.
But it makes sense because anger, they say, it's very similar to Avodah Zarah, because when you get when you're angry,
you lose control.
It's not just that you lose control, but you forget that Hashem has a plan, and you think you know better. That's what anger is. It's I need to control as opposed to Hashem is controlling.
Yeah.
I also think that Moshe didn't necessarily forget the halacha. I think that maybe he saw that there was room to, so to speak, paskin in that direction.
He was being like, machmir?
I think he was being Mekel.
Moshe was being Mekel?
Yeah,
Aaron.
I think he heard Aaron's...
Oh, in the end. Meaning he's a dispute and he accepted.
Meaning I think that wasn't necessarily what... I think Moshe did know the halacha, but I think that once he heard Aaron's explanation, he kind of felt that there was room to...
Look at Rashi. Vayitav Moshe Beinav. Moshe heard the end of the story. Vayitav Moshe. Ma'ishma Moshe v'ita beina. Look at Rashi v'ita beina. Hoda v'lo bo shlamar lo shamati. He admitted, he accepted, and he was not embarrassed to say, I didn't know. Lo shamati means I didn't know. Mm-hmm. Meaning Aaron made a decision. Meaning it wasn't that they had discussed this, but Aaron said, we're at Onanim, we can't eat that thing, and whatever, why are you screaming at us? And Moshe was like, oh, didn't think about that. Okay, according to there's another midrash that you don't have, says the Mibayikra Rabba, Hotzi Moshe Rabbeinu Kuz Lekol HaMachaneh. Moshe Rabbeinu, he announced to the entire camp, Ani ta'iti et ha'alacha, ve'aron achi barbali medli. I just want you all to know, I made a mistake and Aaron corrected me. You know, that Moshe Rabbeinu, it was greatness in his ability to admit mistakes, to accept that he made a mistake. That's Rashi. So according to Rashi, this whole story is about, it's so interesting, because it's about a nuance in halacha, but it's also about much more than that, about Moshe's fear, about Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, and what the panic was. I want to share with you, I saw Rashbam. Rashbam is very interesting. One second. That's a little bit different, significantly different to what we said before. No. Okay. Let me see if I can find it. Aaron. Okay. Hein hayom ikrivu. V'chein Amar Aaron. Aaron said, if you have the Rashbam, it's Rashbam on Yud Tet. If you have Rashbam, you see Rashbam on 19? Okay, like a couple of lines in. V'chein Amar Aaron. Lama katzafta al banai. Why did you get enraged on my sons? Halo hayom hazeh. On this day, hikrivu ani ubanai korbanotenu shinitchachnu behem la'avodah. We offered the right korbanot. Ubetoch hagdula hazot ba'a lanu tzara gdola. And in the middle of this thing, we had this great, this terrible tragedy. Vatikrena oti ka'ele. And you call me like this? V'ha'ech. Where am I? I lost my place. Next, I'm trying. V'ha'ech. And how? Uchal chatat shel kochei darot b'yom hazeh. Shenitkalkala v'nitarva simchatenu. How can I eat a korban chatat? How am I? What, you want? Like, okay, we're in the middle of this great day. We did everything you said. And now we have this terrible tragedy, and you're telling me, sit down and eat? How can I do it on this day? Dugmat aluva kalash zinta bekerav chupata. You want me to sit and eat and celebrate? It's very interesting, Tracy. Rambam, Rashbam seems very similar to what you said. That comes on Rashbam, and Aharon said, Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Rashbam, it was a much more an ideological argument. The halakha says, you have to eat. Comes along, Moshe, and yells at them, why are you not eating korban chatat? Aharon says, did you see what just happened today? I have to eat this korban b'simcha. So yes, I should eat the korban, but it's impossible to imagine me eating the korban b'simcha when I just lost my two sons. That's very similar to what you were saying. So I wanted to come back to it, and you know, because I was aware of it. But Rashbam doesn't deal with that. I think Rashi avoids this. It's much more the pshat. But Rashi avoids it because of the theological problem. Like the Chazal avoided totally. They ignored it. Oh, they were arguing, you know, in a ksos. You know, halacha, the Rambam, and whatever. They were arguing about the details, the nuance. Rashbam says it wasn't nuance. It was much larger. And that Aharon, so it's, what's interesting is that even after, according to Rashbam, even after Nadav and Avihu, what did Aharon do? He used his logic. He said, yes, I'm commanded to eat this, but I it's impossible to say that I have to eat this now. Like, you want me to sit and eat? Like, according to Rashi, yeah, they had to sit and eat. Like, just, you know, like you said, you lost your parents and then go eat Rosh Hashanah. It's very hard. So we're left with two conflicting perspectives. Like, what the expectations are. According to, you know, the expectations of halakha, ideological expectations, and trying to piece together this puzzle. Anybody else have something to add?
I'm still stuck in the return of Trim and how it kind of fits in with Karbanot, because I don't think it's a word that...
What should you say, Anish Arim? Because you know what notar is.
It's what's left over from the Korban.
And what's the halacha about notar?
You said you don't eat it.
Right, you burn it. You destroy it. You're not allowed to eat it. It's not usable. So I understand what you're saying.
You're saying the notar...
Notar in halakha terminology...
To make that analogy, if it was not referring to Nadav, that they did were killed.
Ooh, or it makes more sense to say that what you want to say is the following, that in reality, that's the justification for the Midrash that says they should all have been killed, mm-hmm. that they are notar, mm-hmm. that they were really korbanot themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's the linguistic connection. Good shot. That's not what you want to say? Something to be said.
There's something there, but I don't know.
There's something there. All right, we'll stop here. On that high note, we'll stop here.